So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, it is Tommy Freedom coming through to you loud and clear in the path of Hurricane Florence. By the time you get this, the storm will have been long gone, but in the event that the power goes out, I'm going ahead and I'm pre-recording this on Friday. So, yeah, George has his paw on the button. Go ahead, George. Yes, this is the Hurricane Special. Go ahead. Okay, so it is September the 14th, 2018, and I am in the path of Hurricane Florence. Now, an interesting thing about this hurricane is that Hurricane Florence will be going directly over Florence, South Carolina. I don't know that that's ever happened before. Not this particular name, but a hurricane passing over a town or a city with its own name. For example, we've never had a Hurricane Charlotte hit Charlotte. So it's kind of interesting that Hurricane Florence, now nicknamed Flo, will be going through Florence, South Carolina. Now at this point in time, the hurricane has made landfall. It hit Wilmington, well, just above Wilmington. And then, it came in just south of Wilmington. It's projected to go back over some open water and then hit land again. Now, at this point in time, the winds are already down to 75 miles per hour. They may increase slightly as it goes over the water. We will see. Of course, by the time you hear this, you will already have known. But it looks like at this point in time, we're not going to have a problem with the winds, like initially was thought. And that was my big concern. I'm a prepper, so it's not a question of going without the power, because I've got so much. I've got 6 20-pound tanks of propane. I've got 2 propane stoves. I've got a propane light. I've got 25 gallons of gasoline. I've got a generator, and I have a plug that goes from the generator directly into the power box in the back of the house. We had an electrician come out several years ago. We had a really bad ice storm. We went and we bought a generator, but after the storm was over, and thank God we got the last generator, folks, by the way, we went over to Sam's. There was one left, and I told my dad, I said, go get a cart, and I literally threw myself on top of the box and was laying on top of the box, and a guy came up. He goes, are there any left? I said, nope, this is it. That's why I'm laying on it. So we got the last generator that they had, and after the storm was over, because we plugged into it and ran extension cords into the house, and I was able to get online, because at that time I was still on dial-up. And the phone lines are always the last to break. The cable is so heavy that rarely do you lose phone communication. In fact, back in 1989, when I weathered Hurricane Hugo, the power went out, the phone was still on. And folks, I have in this, if you hear me knocking here, inside this desk alongside of me, two Trimline phones from the 1980s. They don't require a power source other than the telephone line. So when the power went out, I simply unplugged the modern phones that we had, came back here in the office, took one of the trim lines, plugged it in, called my dad up in Winston-Salem, and I was talking to him during the height of Hurricane Hugo. And all of a sudden, there was a loud crash in the background, and he said, you know, what's that? I said, I don't know, find out tomorrow. And sure enough, it was a huge tree across the street, on the backyard, behind the houses across the street. And unfortunately, it was a champion tree here in Mecklenburg County. So it was a big loss, but thank God it didn't hit the house. It came down alongside of it. Did some minor damage from the branches, but nothing substantial. So I was able to actually be on the phone and talk to my dad for 2 hours during the height of Hurricane Hugo, which was really cool because I was, I think, 19 at the time. And going through a hurricane by yourself at that age, kind of scary. It really was. So that's why I was initially concerned about this storm, because of the wind, not the rain. Now, we are going to flood. We are going to flood. We are going to get anywhere between 8 to 12 inches of rain in about 24 hours. That, my friends, is a lot of rain. Let me give you an example, because back when I was 14, before I'd ever moved here to the Carolinas, I was living in a coastal town in Connecticut called Madison, and we had a freak storm come through. It was not a hurricane. It was not the spawn of a hurricane. It was just a freak storm. And over a Saturday and Sunday, we got 11 inches of rain. 6 inches on Saturday and 5 inches on Sunday. Now, our house was, I'd say maybe a mile away from the ocean. So pretty flat, okay? But just up the road from where I lived, the road made a huge bend to the right. Not really a dogleg, but pretty close. And by the time the storm was over, there was so much water going down this road, even as flat as it was. It hit something, I don't know, a pothole, whatever, I don't know. And it literally dug a hole deep enough for me to hide in. You could have turned a Volkswagen Beetle upside down and put it in that hole and filled back over it. That's how big a hole it made. And there was no inclination to the terrain whatsoever. So here, if we're going to get that kind of rain, and if it's moving because it's running downhill, and it hits the slightest crack in the road or a pothole, I mean, it could literally be weeks, if not months, before they fix all the roads, if the same thing were to happen here that happened up there. Now, again, that's kind of the max scenario, but again, it's something that I have witnessed. And folks, I'll tell you, I have witnessed a ton of natural disasters. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I've been through 5 or 6 hurricanes, 2 tornadoes, several wildfires, and a couple of earthquakes. So I've pretty much experienced it all. And out of all of those, it was not the tornadoes that really freaked me out. It was Hurricane Hugo that hit Charlotte here back in 1989. Now, the curious thing about Hugo was it hit Charleston. I forget what the category was, but it was a major hurricane. And it followed the river all the way up. And now this river changes names many times. It's the Catawba River here. Then it turns into, I think, the Watarine and the something else, then the Santee or the Cooper. I don't remember which. But anyway, it followed the river. Now, this is a wide river and it's very shallow, so therefore it was very warm. And believe it or not, it sucked the river almost dry. And it used all of that warm water which was just as warm, if not even warmer, than the ocean, to fuel itself all the way to Charlotte, North Carolina. In fact, Charlotte, North Carolina was the delineating zone. Delineating zone? Where it went from a hurricane to a tropical storm. So it still had hurricane winds of 75 miles per hour plus when it hit Charlotte. By the time it left, it had diminished. And I was actually standing outside in this, 19 years old. I mean, you do this kind of stuff. Went out there, and I'm leaning into the wind, just like you see on TV, with my arms out, leaning in on a 45-degree angle, and the wind is blowing, you know, 75, gusting to 90. I was outside when the 135-mile-per-hour gust came. And at that point, I was already leaning in. As it started to come in, I leaned even further. And I don't think I was more than, my head, I don't think was more than 3 feet off the ground. I was leaning that much into it to keep myself up and keep from being blown away. Why I was not blown away, I haven't a clue. But at that point, it dawned on me, because it was still dark. Hurricane Hugo hit in the dark. Every hurricane that I've ever been through has been in the dark. This is the first hurricane I'm going to weather during daylight hours to actually see what's going on, which is going to be really cool. Now, that's just the scientist in me that wants to experience this. But I was out there, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm envisioning a roofing shingle coming through about head height. And I said, you know, I think I better get my butt back in the house. So I did. But I was actually outside during Hurricane Hugo when that 135-mile-per-hour gust came through. And that was an experience. It was also the very first tornado I'd been through. I was out on the back deck. Well, not the back deck, but the back hall. At that point in time, I had not completely finished it off. It was still kind of a screened-in porch. I hadn't put the walls and stuff in yet. And all of a sudden, I heard a sound. Imagine yourself being in a 55-gallon drum and Alex Van Halen beating on that drum with a pair of axe handles. That's what I heard. That was a tornado. It does not sound like in The Wizard of Oz. It is a very deep bass. A lot of people say it sounds like a freight train. I heard that, but I also heard that higher pitched beating at the same time. It was not a huge tornado, so I guess that would account for the higher pitch to it. But it touched down on the tops of the trees in the yard behind me. Cleared my trees, thank God, because I have two champion trees here in Mecklenburg County. Spared both of them. Went down the street, went over my best friend's house, took the tops off of their trees, bounced up again, went another block or so, went over my aunt and uncle's house, and came down in the yard behind them and took the tops off of their trees. So it was a skipper. And I had expected those. See, here we don't get true tornadoes. But anytime you have a big storm like a hurricane, you're going to get vortices, eddies, to say. So as it's moving through, it's just like in a river. You're going to find blockages that cause eddies. Well, the same thing happens in air, and it causes these vortices, which turn into these like F1 tornadoes. They're not really damaging. I wouldn't want to be standing in one. They're capable of taking the tops off of trees, maybe turning a car over, but they're not a true tornado. And that was the first tornado I went through, and I was so disappointed because I always wanted to see one. And it was literally 60 feet away, and it was dark, and I could not see it. The second tornado I went through was in Tucson, Arizona, back in 1992. And it was during the monsoons, and I was staying in a motel because I was cruising the desert on my motorcycle. And a tornado came through on the other side of the motel. So I'm standing out there, and again, broad daylight, did not see the tornado. So I've been cheated twice. Now they say the third time's a charm. Probably I don't want to meet the third one because I'll probably see it in the daytime and be in the middle of it, which would not be too cool. But I just had the opportunity to go through so many natural disasters, and it's not like I'm looking for them. It's just that I happen to be in the, you could say, either the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time, depending upon how you look at it. Also went through a couple of earthquakes when I lived in San Diego back in 1988. And then I went through a huge one in 1989 or 1990 up in Quebec. It was a 6.8. And that was literally a trembler. It lasted for 28 seconds. And I remember sitting on the edge of the bed. I was in a motel up in Niagara Falls. It epicentered in Quebec. And I was in Niagara Falls at the time. And I remember thinking to myself, as the bed is going up and down, and I'm riding this thing, and it felt just like a roller coaster. It was really, really cool. It's like, wow, if I was in California, I would swear I just went through an earthquake, because who expects an earthquake in Canada? Well, sure enough, I see the headlines in the newspaper the next day, 6.8, epicenter in Quebec, hits Niagara Falls. That one was actually fun. The ones in California were not fun, because you were always directly on top of them. And not only did you get it coming through the ground and coming through your feet, but it also created a shockwave. And folks, let me tell you something. If you've never experienced a shockwave, and I don't care what causes it, whether it's an earthquake or a cannon or some kind of a huge explosion, they are not fun. They hurt. When they hit you in the chest, it literally feels like Jean-Claude Van Damme just kicked you in the chest. And George is gesturing at me. I got to take a break here. I'm going to come back. I want to talk some more about this impending storm and how you might want to prepare. At this point, I'm planning on 30 minutes, but it may go over. I don't know. I do have the option here on this network of going over if I need to, and they never complain. So we'll see what happens on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere, folks, because this is some real exciting stuff, and you're listening to this as it's happening, even though you're hearing it after the fact.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
And now, a public service announcement regarding Hurricane Florence.
Turn around, don't drown, your car is not a boat. Turn around, don't drown, your car, it will not float. So when the water starts to rise, open your eyes, have yourself a plan. Use your head and think, don't let your dreams sink, it's just that easy you can. Turn around, don't drown, your car is not a boat.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. George, what kind of an intro was that? No, that was Eye of the Tiger. No, we're talking about Hurricane Florence. That's the Eye of the Hurricane, not the Eye of the Tiger, you idiot. Find something appropriate and redo the intro. You have 5 seconds to get something that's appropriate for a hurricane. And I Don't Want to Hear America by Neil Diamond because it says in the eye of the storm. 3, 2, 1. The best recovery I have ever seen, George. No, believe it or not, you aren't fired. No, that's actually pretty good. I don't know where you pulled that out of, but Rock You Like a Hurricane is definitely a song that is fitting for the situation. Now, we'll have a few more coming up, I'm sure, but for now, Rock You Like a Hurricane, I'm sure, is the best one. Congrats, George. Kudos. Here I am. Rock you like a hurricane. Here I am. Rock you like a hurricane. So once again, folks, I am in the eye of the hurricane here. Well, not yet. More like the eye of the needle of Hurricane Florence. Now, it looks like it's going to go south of us here, so we will not get the brunt of it, but we are still going to get a lot of rain. Now, a lot of things that people don't pick up on when it deals with hurricanes, because you have these categories, okay? And let me explain this, okay? A category 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 deals with wind speed. But quite often, that's not the most destructive part of the hurricane. It is the amount of water, the amount of rain, the flooding that results from that. And that cannot be gauged from the wind speed. So you could have a hurricane, let's say it's a Category 5, okay? It hits land as a Category 5, but is moving at 42 miles an hour. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of damage from the wind. Buildings are going to be destroyed, but you won't have any flooding. On the other hand, you could have a Category 1, which is what we are looking at here with Florence, that right now is moving at 5 miles per hour and could even stall, which means that you won't have that much damage from the wind. But what you will have is the flooding, because it's sitting there. And right now, we are looking at the possibility of inches of rain per hour. Winds aren't that strong. They'll gust. Okay, we'll have some wind damage, but mostly what we're looking at here is the potential of more than 1 inch per hour. Now, to give you a perspective on that, for those of you who live up north, that would be 1 foot of snow per hour. So if we're looking at 2 to 3 inches of rain per hour, you would be looking at 2 to 3 feet of snow per hour. Now, I hope that puts that into perspective for you. That's something that they don't ever talk about on the news. They don't convert these things. You know, it's like we get everything in kilometers and all this metric crap. When they're dealing with rain versus snow, they never convert that. So when we hear that we have the possibility of getting up to 13 inches of rain, that is the equivalent of almost 13 feet of snow. And folks, if you've ever been in a blizzard, you know how fast it snows. You know how fast it accumulates. Now, perhaps that is something that you can understand and put this into a better perspective to understand just how much rain we are looking at here. Now, that's here in the Metrolina area. Folks, where this came ashore, we are looking at almost, well, we are looking, seriously, we are looking at 40 inches plus of rain. Now, to give you an idea, what we're looking at here in the Metrolina area, and for those of you who are not familiar with Metrolina, that it was an old term years ago that meant Charlotte and the surrounding areas. Now, nowadays, it's called the Charlotte Metro or Metro Charlotte area. 40 inches? My God, that's almost 4 feet of rain. Oh my God. But here in Metrolina, which I'm going to continue to call it because that's what it's called when I moved here, we're looking at, you know, around 12, 13 inches. That is 8 months of rain in 2 days. Can you comprehend that? Because I really can't. The closest thing I can come is the story I just relayed to you. And it was devastating. Now here in this local area around Charlotte, we have two dams that block the Catawba River. One is the Cohen's Ford Dam that makes Lake Norman, and we have another one just over the line in South Carolina outside of Rock Hill. I don't know the name of the dam, but it blocks the Catawba River and makes Lake Wylie. In between, you have a small dam that makes Mountain Island Lake, which is irrelevant. What I'm trying to say here is all of this water is going to hit all of the land, all the tributaries, and it's going to funnel directly into the Catawba River. Where's that water going to go? It's going to go downstream. And the further downstream it goes, the more it's going to encounter water from other tributaries that are feeding the river. So while we may get some really bad flooding here in Charlotte from that, by the time it gets down to Charleston, oh my God, I cannot begin to imagine what the height of the Santee Cooper River is going to be. I mean, we could be looking at literally tens of meters, and this is the first time I'm going to use that. I should have said yards. All right, tens of yards of water coming out of that river. And this is what we are looking at. This storm is huge. The problem with it is it's so slow moving that even though you don't have the winds, you have this thing parked pretty much overhead, just dumping all of this water. If you've ever been through a torrential downpour, they usually last, what, 5, maybe 10 minutes? Well, imagine this lasting for 18, 24, or 36 hours. And that, folks, is what we are looking at here in the Carolinas. something we have never gone through before. Hurricane Hugo came through here, I think, doing 35 miles an hour. It was over in just a few hours. What we're looking at here now is going to last for days. So what do? Well, it depends upon where you are. Now, there's a huge difference between those folks along the coast and those of us who are inland. Now, the big problem along the coast, it's twofold. Let me explain this to you. Is that, first of all, you have the storm surge. Seriously, George? Blondie? You're playing Blondie? No, we never played Blondie on here before. What is your... Oh, the tide is high. That's very clever, George. I would not have thought of that. That's... Give some kudos to you on that. The tide is high. Huh. Okay. Well, I guess that one is fitting, so you are not fired. Well, thanks to the magic of editing, it is now Saturday morning. Now, the tide may be high out along the coast, but ironically, if you go to theweatherchannel.com, I'm sure it's still going to be up there by the time you hear this, there was a really interesting video. One of the bays, and I don't know if it was New Bern or Wilmington, it was somewhere along in there, Myrtle Beach Way, somewhere. I'm not really sure where. That's actually irrelevant. Somebody had shot a video of an empty bay. The wind was blowing so hard that it literally blew the water out of the bay. And believe it or not, folks, there were morons that were walking around out there in the bay. Had the wind stopped for just a minute or two, all that water would have come rushing back in and they would have drowned. People are idiots. We used to have a governor here. He and I do not get along. His name is Pat McCrory. He would say, "Don't put your stupid hat on," when these hurricanes would come in. And those folks were sure as hell wearing their stupid hats, I tell you. But I can't imagine somebody being that dumb. It's just like years and years ago when a tidal wave would come in. Of course, nowadays they're called tsunami. But when we called them tidal waves, people really didn't understand that the bay was draining because a big wave was coming in. And people would go out picking up the fish and the clams and the oysters or whatever, and all of a sudden this wall of water would come in and they would drown. But yeah, people just do really stupid things. But this storm now is not hardly moving at all. When I got it this morning at 7 o'clock, it was traveling at 5 miles per hour. It's now down to 2. Hopefully it's going to pick back up. But if this thing doesn't move, I mean, we're literally screwed. Because it will just sit there half on and half offshore and just take all of that moisture and dump it on us. And theoretically, if this thing actually stalls, we could be looking at many, many feet of rain. Right now, here in Charlotte, we're looking around a foot, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more. But those things are changing as this storm slows down. And it could really, in theory, be the worst hurricane in history as far as dropping rain. They're already calling it a Category 5 rainfall. You don't have that. A Category 5 deals with winds, but the amount of rain that it dumps, this is what it's comparable to, even though this thing is now a tropical storm. It's still dropping the same amount of rain that it would if it were a Category 5. And that's something else I'll give to Pat McCrory, as much as I despise the man. He did actually suggest to the National Weather Service that they come up with a different way of categorizing these hurricanes, not just by wind, but by the amount of rain as well, so that you would have two categories, a wind category and a rain category, which is actually a pretty good idea, and I do support that. But what we're looking at here is, of course, we're not going to have any kind of flooding in the rivers. I mean, you know, for a storm surge or anything like that. Yes, we will have flooding in the rivers because we're going to have so much rain coming down that they're going to overflow their banks. But we're not going to have as much wind as we did, say, with Hurricane Hugo. And Hurricane Hugo, as I told you before, was absolutely terrifying to go through. And of all the disasters that I've been through, that was the one that concerned me the most. This one doesn't really concern me because the subdivision that I live in, it was built in the 50s, and it's called Something Hills. So obviously it's up and down. The people who live in the down portion are probably going to have some issues. We will not, because we're on the almost at the very top. I do have a couple of yards that drain through my yard. However, years ago when we had issues with flooding under the house, because everything's on crawl spaces down here, I spent months building berms. Now, you can't really see them, but I would go out there in the rain and see where the water was going, and I would take wheelbarrows full of dirt and dump them in there, and I gradually made these swales and berms all around the yard. So a lot of the water now drains down through the gravel driveway, and the rest of it goes around the backyard and out. So actually, at the very back portion of my property, I built a berm that's about 2 feet high that diverts all that water into my neighbor's yard. But anyway, that's how we get around that. So I'm not really concerned about the rain. I'm concerned about the wind. Now, in my neighborhood, things are pretty much trimmed. You know, the trees are. So we're not going to lose power in the neighborhood. However, we are looking at losing power elsewhere. And at this point, we're now at 750,000 people without power already. They are projecting from 1 to 3 million. And that's extensive. Considering that there are 1.8 million people here in Charlotte alone, that's a lot of people to be without power. But again, the winds, that's what I'm concerned about. The water's nothing. The wind is incredible. Standing out in a hurricane with the wind blowing at hurricane force, it's just an experience you will not forget. And I have seen all too well the dangers of what wind does, because I've been through, I told you, several hurricanes. And I saw a roof come off of a garage in Florida. Geez, I don't even remember which one that one was. But it was like what they call a hip roof, except it was square, so it came to a point, kind of like a giant cupola. And it was not fastened down properly. The wind got in there, and the entire roof lifted off of that garage like a giant kite and flew away. You would not believe the power of the wind, folks. That's what we've got to worry about. We've already got trees down here in Charlotte. Places without power already here in Charlotte, just a few hours into the storm. It's only going to get worse before it gets better. And I am not looking forward to what's going to go on, especially if this thing continues to stall. Because theoretically, we could be looking at maybe a week or more of this kind of torrential rainfall. And if this thing is going to stop, it's going to continue to pull all that moisture off of the ocean and dump it on us. And there's nowhere for it to go. So theoretically, if that were to happen, even though I'm in a neighborhood that's named Blank Hills, we could really be looking at tens of feet of water on the ground. Now, the major river that goes through Charlotte, and it's not through Charlotte, it's slightly to the west, is the Catawba River. That's a very broad and shallow river, so the banks aren't very high. So if we were to get literally, you know, 10 feet of water, which is nothing from a storm like this, and I'm not talking about 10 feet raining on you, I'm talking about 10 feet of river rise, the way it would spill its banks would be incredible. So if we were to get literally 10 feet of rain, we could be looking at water levels of 30 to 40 feet in that river. And that would just devastate the area for miles and all of its tributaries as well. So this has the potential to be, in all likelihood, the absolute worst hurricane in history. But as I was saying before, it's not the flooding that concerns me, it's the wind, if we lose power. Now, I'm fully prepared. Now, folks, you know I'm a prepper. Saying that I'm a prepper is an understatement. What I have in preparation of this, in addition, of course, to everything that I have for a complete natural disaster. Of course, I've got 5 years worth of food, several years worth of toilet paper, medical supplies, and all that. But right now, what I have that's good to go is I got a generator. I've got 25 gallons of gasoline to fuel that generator. I've got 6 20-pound tanks of propane gas. I have 2 gas stoves and a gas light. So I'm not looking at having really any issues. It's more like a major camping trip at this point. It's just that this time of the year, it's still very hot and humid here in the South. So without power, no AC. And it will be miserable. I did not get central air until 1995, and I had to suffer through that all those years. And it was horrible. I mean, anything that was made out of leather had green mold growing on it because of the humidity. It was just absolutely horrible. It won't get to that point here, but trying to suffer through it will not be fun. Now, yes, I will have power, but that generator is not capable of running my gas pack. It's probably not capable of running my clothes dryer, and it's probably not capable of running my electric stove. However, it will run everything else. So that's I'll have at least I'll have a fan to blow on me, I suppose, with the generator going, but it's not going to be fun. I will put it to you this way. I will be much better off than probably most other people in the area, but still, it's going to be a challenge. I haven't had to live this way in a long time, and I am not relishing it. Again, being a prepper, we know this is going to happen, and this is why we prep. We prepare for things like this. Some people prepare for the end of the world. Some prepare for disasters. I kind of prep for a happy medium somewhere in the middle. But it'll be interesting to see where this goes and just how long we are without power and what starts to happen. When the power goes out, the looting begins. Now, back in 2016, the big riots that were here in Charlotte were within 3 miles of my house on the first night. So the next day, I went out because I was running for public office at the time and bought a big sheet of Lexan that I put over my living room window. I got the name escapes me at the moment. Big picture window. Big sheet of glass is what it is, like 4 feet by 4 feet. Really good target for a log or a brick or a rock or something. So I put this sheet of Lexan over it. So if somebody comes through here and tries to break in through that window and they throw a brick at it, it's going to come back and hit them right between the eyes, and they're going to be very surprised. And then, of course, I will probably feel for my safety, my life, and fire a return shot in response. But it's things like these that I have prepared for. And for those of you who have not prepared, if you ever find yourself in this situation, folks, you're going to be screwed. And there's a lot of you listening to this show who are in the path of this storm. Because when it comes out of here, it's looping back around and it's going straight through New England. And I know I got a lot of listeners in New England. I got one up in Halifax, Nova Scotia. It's going right over there too. So you're not going to get the strong winds, but you're going to get the rains. So you're not going to have to worry about losing power, just maybe driving through a lot of water on the roads. But these are the things that we don't take into consideration. They're things that we need to look at and be ready for. And honestly, folks, of all of you who are listening, how many of you would really have been as prepared for this storm as I am? Just weigh that question. Now, let's say you haven't prepped. Let's just say that you got caught unexpectedly. You've gone out, there's no gas, there's no propane, the milk and the bread are gone from the grocery stores. What do you do? Well, first thing is you look in your shelves and see what you have. Hopefully, you've got some pasta and some canned goods. And folks, always keep pasta and canned goods. Pasta doesn't go bad, and neither does rice. I started buying rice in bulk years ago. It will not go bad. They have found rice that's over 5,000 years old that's still edible. It will not go bad. So you can't go wrong there. But let's just say that you've got something there. But now you're looking at the loss of power. You're facing the fact that the power is going to go out and everything in your refrigerator and your freezer is going to thaw. it's going to go bad. What do you do? Well, your freezer and your refrigerator is basically a giant cooler. It just has a cooling pack attached to it to keep things frozen or cool. So what I have been doing over the past couple of days is freezing 1 gallon jugs of water, because as a prepper, I've been saving my gallon jugs, because the ones they have at Sam's, I think they've changed now, but years ago, the ones that I was getting, the milk jugs at Sam's were stackable. It was really cool. I'd never seen that anywhere else before. The milk wasn't really good, but the jugs were awesome, so I'd get my milk there. And I have 21 empty jugs right now that I've yet to fill with sugar, salt, beans, rice, whatever. So I've been filling them with water. Not to the top, just to where it starts to kind of come over, to where it rounds over near the top for room for expansion. And I've been freezing them. So I know you're saying, Tommy, why would you freeze water? Well, the answer is simple. It's frozen thermal mass. You take a cooler, you put your food in there, and what do? You throw in a bag of ice, right? So now I have, at this point, I think I'm up to 15 or 16 gallons of frozen water blocks. So that when the power goes out, I will have all of that thermal ice mass in there to keep things cool or cold longer. Now, yes, I do have a generator, but I'm not going to run it all the time. I can't. I've got to run it in spurts. In between, things are going to start to cool down. Well, all of that frozen water is going to keep things cool longer. So I have what they call an ice chest out on the back hall, and I've got, I think, 15 gallons of frozen water in there with all the things I got frozen out there, and then the freezer above the refrigerator, I've got 3 gallons frozen in there, and between those, I can take some out from that freezer and put it into the refrigerator to make that act as a cooler. These are the things you need to think about, folks, and it's stuff like that that most people really don't think about. Look at my watch here. Let me take a quick break and I will be right back.
They have been mistreated and misunderstood for generations. Abusive owners have done severe damage and given these beautiful creatures a bad reputation. Every day, millions suffer from misuse and neglect. But you can make a difference by giving a gun a loving home. These guns want nothing more than to adore and protect you. And Blackstone Shooting Sports wants to match you with a new gun and a new addition to your family. The friendly and professional staff at Blackstone are experts and know how to find the perfect firearm to fit your lifestyle. And Blackstone Shooting Sports has the kind of guns that need a loving home more than anything else. Like AK-47s, AR-15s, and the best and biggest selection of handguns in government. So please, have a heart. And don't let a gun spend another night on a cold, dusty shelf.
Look sharp, it's the Pin Cushion Palace.
When your kids are on vacation and they want something to do,
the Pin Cushion Palace is the place for you.
Bring the family, look around,
but don't touch the pins.
Legally, we're required to say,
don't touch the pins.
Yeah!
Look sharp, it's the Pin Cushion Palace.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom, it may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio.
We'll be right back.
Alrighty, we are back and we are still okay. Winds are gusting a little bit out there, but everything's fine. I'm sure it'll get worse. And if I can, I'm going to run this for an hour, folks. This is going to be an hour-long show. But as long as I can, if there are major updates, I will do some extras by Tommy Freedom to keep you in touch with what's going on here until I lose power. But how do we keep in touch? Well, nowadays, we have cell phones, and that's great as long as you can keep them charged. If your power goes out, your smartphone is not going to work. Now, perhaps you have a solar charger or some other way to charge your phone, even if you have to go outside and turn on your car and burn valuable gasoline to charge your phone, you could still get out, theoretically. But as I told you earlier on, the very first part of the show, during Hurricane Hugo, hell, we didn't have cell phones. I was on the phone with my dad the whole time the hurricane was going on for 2.5 hours. You see, the phone lines are almost an inch in diameter. They don't break. The power lines break. The cable TV breaks. All that stuff breaks. But the phone always stays intact. It's just so big. It will not break. And I have several phones that will work. So even if my phone goes dead, but I can't recharge it, I can still get on the landline and dial out. And folks, my very first computer, I still have. It's got a phone modem, a dial-up modem. So even if we lose our high-speed internet, I can fire up the Jenny. And I've done this before. I did this during an ice storm about 10 years ago. Fired up the generator, got my computer up and running, and I hooked up the old computer, tied it into the phone line, and I was able to get online. Sometimes, it's not the new technology, it's the old technology that comes through. Some food for thought, folks. Just keep that in mind, all right? And that means simple things. Old-style telephones, CB radios, things along that line. I know a lot of times you don't stop to think about how things used to be because we've gotten so used to technology. But that, my friends, is our downfall, getting used to technology. And I'll be the first to admit, the first thing I'm going to miss if the power goes out is being able to access the internet. 20 years ago, I would have never even fathomed that. But now, that's the first thing. How can I stay in touch? Well, I don't have a smartphone. I have this computer. And, so if the power goes out, I'm screwed as far as getting in touch with you folks and talking to my other friends. Something we never had to face before. But again, we're living in modern times, and we have to adapt. Something, wow. 20 years ago, who would have thought that we would have been so intertwined via something called the internet that we really couldn't live without it? That's scary. Years ago, what I'm looking at in the next week or so was stuff that I encountered on the weekends. It was called camping. This was called a camping trip. And should stuff go down, yes, I will literally be on a camping trip. I will just have a roof over my head. I'll just be missing the internet. That is how far we have changed, even since I was a kid. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as the internet. It didn't exist. We didn't have cell phones in school. Hell, we didn't even have computers. We didn't have calculators. I got a calculator in fifth grade, and I cheated my math test. My teacher could not figure out how we did it. But those times are long gone. Long gone, my friends. So now, as we merge into this new age, we find ourselves on a precipice of losing that technology. And what do? Well, most people will panic. George and I, however, will not panic because we are falling back to old technology, namely REO Speedwagon. And we will be riding the storm out together, as I hope that you will with us as well. So this is REO Speedwagon, riding the storm out, as George and I are doing very diligently here in North Carolina. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.
Watching for the snow. I've been thinking lately of what I'm missing in the city. And I'm not missing a thing. Watching the full moon cross in the range. Riding the storm out. Storm out.